I want to turn for a few moments, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're just going to break into the chapter with the words of verse 7. And the apostle here is speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's upon the subject of liberality. He uses two examples to them of those who have shown great liberality. One of was, of course, the church there, mentioned in the opening verses of Macedonia. And even in their deepest need, they were able to show liberality to God's servants. And as we read these few verses that we're going to read this morning, he gives the second example. Verse 7, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Amen. I want to take that verse, and particularly just want to take one line within that verse. That verse is certainly a verse which we could lose ourselves in this morning. We could spend all day in contemplation of every word. But I want you to just look at the verse where it says, "Yet for your sakes he became poor." There's many who are rich and wealthy today, but none are in comparison to that of Christ. All things are his, of course. And it's no surprise, therefore, that Paul here uses the Savior as the second example or illustration of liberality to this church. I want you to consider, firstly, in that phrase, his incarnation. For it says, he became. He became poor. From honor to hatred. You consider of how the Lord was honored in glory. The angels at his beck and call, all in submission to him. The one who spake this world into being. Nothing was made that he didn't make himself. He was the great creator. He was honored. And yet he left the realms of glory and he became one who is formed in our fashion yet without sin. He was to leave honor to be hated. John 15, in the words of verse 25, says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." From heaven, from honor to hatred. Aye, but we could go on further and say, it was from riches to rejection. He was rich. He owns the world's everything consists by Christ. He was riches which are eternal, and yet he was to leave the riches of God behind, and he was to come down, and yet he was to be rejected. John 1 reminds us, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. His incarnation. And it was from glory to Golgotha. For the realms of glory, and words cannot describe the glory of the Lord. The glory of majesty of that heavenly place. Yet he was to leave it behind and he was to go to Golgotha. For we are reminded in Luke's Gospel that he set his face toward Jerusalem. The mind of Christ was always of Calvary. That was why he came. And so in my little verse you see something of his incarnation. But secondly, I want you to see also his humiliation. For it says, "Yet for your sakes he became poor." How poor? Yes, we cannot delve the depths of his riches. Neither can we really delve the depth of his poverty and his humiliation. He was poor in life. He was born in a lowly cattle shed, a lowly manger there in Bethlehem. He was brought up in lowly Nazareth. whereby it was said, can any good come out of Nazareth? It was a run-down place. It was a place which was not even considered amongst the Israelites. Yet the Lord of glory came. He became poor to that extent. He became poor in his person. Because we read, of course, also in John 19, at that time of the cross, that they were to take his garments from him. John 19, in the words of verse 23, and it speaks there, the soldiers that crucified Jesus took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And men and women, that woven coat and without seam was a sign of extreme poverty. That was the garments that he wore. He was poor in his life. It was his poverty and humiliation and his death. But they spat upon him. They plucked the hairs from his cheek. His face was marred more than any man's. He was stripped. The pictures by the modern day painters or even centuries back that show Christ clad on the cross are missing the mark. They're not scriptural. They stripped him naked. They spat upon him. They crucified him. He didn't die any ordinary death. He died the death of the cursed. Such was his humiliation and his poverty. We can scarcely take that in. There was poverty in his life and in his death. Aye, and there was poverty in his burial. For they took him, and they were to place him in a borrowed tomb. He died amongst the transgressors, as Isaiah prophesied, and they placed him in a virgin tomb, a place where no man ever had his head laid. There was his humiliation. But men and women, don't miss his motivation. Yet, for your sakes, he became poor. For your sakes. His motivation was to satisfy the Father's will. He said to his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He came that he might reconcile a sinful people unto a holy God. You turn back a page or two in your scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. What doing? Reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He went to the cross. His motivation in doing so was to satisfy the Father's will, to finish his work. And there on the cross, he was to offer a sacrifice first and foremost that was acceptable to God. When he cried, it is finished, it was a sign that he had fulfilled everything that the Father gave him to do. He fulfilled the broken law of God. His motivation was not only to satisfy his Father's will, but his motivation was to save his people. Don't forget 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he went to the cross. It meant the laying down of his life. It meant the shedding of his precious blood if your soul and mine was going to be redeemed and save from eternal damnation. Yet for your sakes. There in the cross, he procured our peace with God, and he purchased our salvation. You know, as we meet around this table, we remember his death. We remember what it cost the Holy One to bear away our sin. His motivation was to save his people. His motivation was sacrificial love. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. It is sincere love, and that's what the apostle imparts to this church at Corinth. But they were to give freely, they were to give liberally, they were to give in love, just as Christ laid down his life in love for us. Can we scarcely take it in? He was rich, praise God, yet for your sakes, for our sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty, through the humiliation of his death and his cross, through his incarnation of becoming man yet without sin, that we through his poverty might be rich. You're the richest on this earth today, because you have eternal life. You're redeemed with precious blood. You're rich today because all that is Christ is also ours. That's how rich we are. So don't you be concerned about those who are running after physical riches. Riches that will burn up one day. They will flee away. Moth and rust will corrupt them. We have riches in heaven. We are rich in Christ. And it is because he gave himself. He offered himself for us. For our sakes, he became poor. May the Lord bless even that little line, those few thoughts to your hearts today for his own name's sake.